which is page 927 in our Bibles, the church Bible. Some of the minor prophets can be tricky to find as they're so small. So it's page 927, the book of Jonah. I'm going to read the first chapter up to the end of verse 16. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And so they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." And this terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, and so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." And then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. This the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word. If you can turn, please, back to that passage we just read together. This is Jonah in chapter 1. We've been looking at Jonah last time I was here. Looked at the first three verses of Jonah chapter 1, considering Jonah the messenger of mercy, which he was called to be. Tonight we're going to consider from verses 4 to verse 16. We all know the story of Jonah very well, at least the first half of the book anyway. The excitement of the storm and the fish and the dramatic events which lead to Jonah then going to Nineveh and proclaiming to them the judgment of God, and they're turning to God in repentance and being delivered from the judgment which was to befall them. But we're going to look at tonight this episode in the story of Jonah as he's on the boat, and God's mercy as it's demonstrated and shown in this storm. Because this whole book is really about God's mercy. God's mercy. God is the God of mercy. He shows his mercy in many different ways in this book to Jonah, to the sailors on the boat, as we'll see, to Nineveh, which is the big point of the story. But God shows himself to be merciful to the world. And it's a big challenge to the people of God as they receive this book in the Old Testament. And the challenge to us today as the Church of Christ, to know that God is merciful. We're to be those who will go out and to share that message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this world where we find ourselves. We've already seen, haven't we, how God intervened. The first verse of the book says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. God came to Jonah. It just starts like that. And God intervenes. He wants Jonah to go to Nineveh and bring his message. But Jonah, although he's called to be a messenger of mercy, rather he runs away. He runs and he goes down to Joppa, finds a ship there, going to Spain, to Tarshish. And there he gets on the boat and there he falls asleep, exhausted. We considered last time how he sought to change God's plan, to prevent God from showing mercy to Nineveh, and he thought that he could somehow manipulate God in that way. And we see that, don't we, in chapter 4 and verse 2, because he says there that he knew that God is a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. And that's why he ran, that's why he went, to try and stop God showing that mercy to Nineveh. You can imagine, can't you, Jonah asking that question, why should Nineveh be given an opportunity to repent? Surely they are, in all cases, sinners above sinners. They're idolaters. They've rejected God, they're violent, and their whole city is corrupt. They deserve, rather, God's judgment to fall upon them. And so he runs away. God had been gracious to Israel. He'd chosen them and brought them out of Egypt. He blessed them and given them a land. But Nineveh, they deserve, rather, God's judgment. And so he runs away. We have to be careful, don't we, ourselves, of having that mindset where we see others and we condemn the sin and we condemn them and we say they deserve judgment. We can become very judgmental in our own outlook. And I think this is the particular purpose of this book, is to show Israel as they were in the context of the Old Testament that their attitude is wrong. They've been called to be a witness to the nations, a light to the nations, as we see in Genesis 12, where God says that through Abraham all the peoples of the earth will be blessed, fulfilled in Christ, but they were to fulfill that themselves. Isaiah speaks of the same, that they were to be a light to the Gentiles, to the nations. They may bring God's salvation to the ends of the earth, because the nations around Israel would see God has set his people there. God has set his home there, his place there. The temple was there. This is where God dwelt. But rather the people consume these things upon themselves and are very inward looking. We must be careful that we don't have that same attitude ourselves. So Jonah runs away from that calling, highlighting to the people how they themselves had run away from that calling. Jonah is asleep here in the boat. But we see next how Jonah is woken up. And how dramatic is that waking up? God sent a storm into the sea, it says in verse 4. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose. And the words are very, very carefully chosen to show how that sea rose up, almost had a life of its own as it came out after Jonah. God was pursuing his servant. He pursued Jonah on the sea. Jonah was in a place of danger, wasn't he? He'd run away from God. He'd run away. He tried to escape God. Could he escape God? Could he get out of God's view? Out of God's jurisdiction, as it were? Could he actually move away in such a way where God could not reach him? Such foolishness, we would say. The Bible makes it very clear that we cannot do that sort of thing. So Jonah put himself in a place of danger. And yet he was asleep. It's quite ironic, isn't it? How he's sleeping there in such a dangerous situation. But the storm doesn't wake him up. He's sound asleep. Conscience doesn't wake him up either. He's there sleeping. What wakes up Jonah? We look in verse 6. It says, doesn't it? Verse 6. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God, and maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." What an indictment to Jonah. And how ironic that Jonah was woken up by this sailor, an unbeliever, who came to him and rebukes Jonah. "How can you be asleep? Get up." Jonah had been called to go to Nineveh to rebuke the unbelievers there. But he's rather asleep in the boat. And the unbelieving captain comes to him and wakes him up and rebukes him. Do you see the irony in his words? And he's called to pray upon his God. The captain doesn't know what God Jonah worships. Doesn't realize, I don't think at this time, that he worships the true and living God of heaven. He just says, "Call upon your God. Pray that he may deliver us." But it doesn't say here that Jonah calls upon the Lord's name. It doesn't say at this point that he prays. He can't pray. He's in that place of danger. He's rebuked there. And he finds himself in a very dangerous position. How dangerous is it to run away from the Lord's will and purposes? To put yourself in that place of danger? And to be effectively asleep like Jonah was there? It's a challenge to us each one to look at ourselves and ask the question, are you asleep tonight? I hope you're not asleep in the service as I'm talking. But are you asleep spiritually? Are you asleep to the situation around us? As the world goes about its business outside the doors of this church, we are called to be a light to the nations. We are called to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be messengers of mercy, to show the Lord to the world. And we must be wise in how we do that. But we all have opportunities to talk to different people that I cannot reach, and perhaps others here cannot contact with. But you know people in your families and in your place of employment and work that you can speak to, build up that relationship with, and share Christ with them. But are we asleep to that? And don't take those opportunities. God has delivered us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He set us in this place, in this time. Well, what do we do with that gospel? Are we content just to live in the church building here? What about the world outside? What about the Great Commission? To go and preach the gospel and make disciples of the nations. And what an indictment if the world rebukes us. And one day they come to you and say, "I never knew you were a Christian. You never told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard it from somebody else." How worse would that be on the judgment day if you were to see them, if they were standing there before you? He said, "You never told me." The world rebukes us if we don't share Christ with them. If we're inactive, if we're asleep like Jonah was here, we should take those times, shouldn't we? Where those would come to us and they may be sharing a situation, how much better would it be to say, "Can I pray for you?" Jonah found himself here and he couldn't pray. But how much better would it be for us to say, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? Or to show them that Christ came into this world to save them. The challenge for me. The challenge for you. The mercy of God is needed in this world. We come then to our second heading tonight, which is God's mercy revealed. We're in this storm, and there's chaos on the sea. The sea is rising, it's ferocious, the sea is raging, it says. And the sailors, you can sense the panic, can't you, in these words? As they cry out together. They're afraid, it says in verse 5, and they each cry out to his own God, and they throw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. The cargo they were carrying from where they were across the sea, so valuable, so precious. Their livelihoods, their lives were in that cargo, and they just throw it overboard. Their priorities have changed. And they all find themselves in the same boat, literally. They fear for their lives. But there's Jonah sleeping in the middle of it all. He finds himself in the same situation as those unbelieving sailors, compromised through his sin of running away. But the sailors, they call out to their own gods. They all have their own concept of God. They pull their gods out of their pockets, their idols, and they call out to their gods, their trinkets. Save us! Nothing happens. We find, don't we, in times of distress, as it was, as it's highlighted here, as we know ourselves, that people will find that they actually do believe in God, they just don't know Him. And here each sailor has their own idea, their own concept, their own God. And they seek to appease. They find He is distant, remote, unknowable. They cannot know God. He hasn't revealed Himself to them. But there's Jonah right in the middle of them. He knows God. But he doesn't share God with them. Doesn't share salvation with them. The sailors have an instinct of survival. The things that they think are important are no longer important. As we've said, they throw them over the side of the boat. And they cast lots as well, as it says in verse 7. Who is to blame for this? It's not me. It must be somebody else. Maybe it's that one there, or that one there. And they cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They all have a sense of, I'm okay. It must be someone else's fault. As they cast those lots, the lot falls on Jonah. And Jonah is exposed. He thought that Nineveh deserved judgment. Unbelieving Nineveh with their open sin. The place was godless and they deserved it. But not me. Not me. And the lot falls on him. Did he expect the lot to fall on him? Would it have been a shock because it points to him? And the sailors want to know, who are you? What have you done? Why are you here? Why? And then we have Jonah's response. And it's interesting, these are the first words that Jonah speaks. And he says, I am a Hebrew. And I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. They're the first words that Jonah speaks in this book. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Finally, Jonah speaks and says something. And he points, doesn't he, to God. He should have been speaking to the king in Nineveh. But he finds himself here in the middle of this storm on this boat. And what he says is to point the people to God. The Lord is in control. He is the creator. He is the one, the judge of the universe. And he is the one who is in control here. he points to God. As Christians, we know the Lord, don't we? As we thought of this morning, God has revealed himself to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. People around us may have a concept or an idea of God, like the sailors on this boat. General revelation has revealed something of God, that there is a creator. But they cannot know salvation through this general revelation. It just condemns and says there is a God. There is a God. How can I be saved? How can I be delivered? We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we come to a full knowledge of God. God has revealed himself to us in Jesus. And we tonight, the people of God, we know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to share that knowledge with others around us. Jonah finds himself here in a situation he's made himself, hasn't he? He's put himself in a difficult situation, but yet he now is able to share his knowledge of God with the people here. We are to share the Lord Jesus Christ with the people we find ourselves with. And the Lord often uses storms in our lives and situations like this, trials, to put us into a situation, a position that we can share and witness of Christ. Will we take those opportunities to share Christ with others? God uses this storm to pursue Jonah, but this was to bring praise and glory to God himself. His mercy is demonstrated even in this storm, as Jonah now witnesses and testifies to the people there, the sailors, of the Lord. What is your witness? What is my witness? What is our witness as we live in this world? And does our witness match what we say? As Jonah said, I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Did the sailors say, but hang on a second, why are you running away? Why do I find you here? Again, the irony is shown in these verses. We have to be careful, don't we, as we find ourselves in this world, as we witness to others, but they point the finger to you and say, but hang on a second, you're saying this, but your life doesn't match up to what you're saying. We must be careful, mustn't we? Our life must show Christ as well as what we say. So Jonah testifies to the sailors, and God's mercy is revealed even there on that boat. Then finally, we see God's mercy extended. God's mercy extended. What shall we do? The sailors ask to Jonah. What shall we do? What does Jonah say? Throw me overboard. Throw me overboard into the raging sea, and the sea will calm down for you, and you will be saved. Quite a noble thing to say, isn't it? For Jonah, who is the one running away, and you'd expect him to say, Let's save ourselves. Let's pull together. Let's try and row for shore. Let's ride out the storm. Let's stick together. But no, Jonah says, instead, throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. The sailors don't run at Jonah and pick him up and throw him overboard as you'd expect, to save their own skin. They try to get to the shore. They battle against the storm. They cannot make it. They try everything they can to save themselves and Jonah, but to no avail. And the sailors then in verse 14, they cry out for mercy. They cry to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. And then the sailors take Jonah and they throw him into the sea. Three things are thrown into the sea in this chapter. The Lord firstly throws the storm into the sea, the great wind in verse 4. Literally the word is to hurl it into the sea. And then the sailors, they pick up their cargo and they hurl that into the sea. And now Jonah is picked up and thrown into the sea. A terrifying end, it seems. The deep, dark sea. Those huge waves. And Jonah, as this chapter ends, verse 16 in the Hebrew Bible, is thrown into the sea. Cut off. And for the Hebrews, who the Jews, as they lived on the land, the Israelites, the sea was seen as chaos. It was seen as something to not go out onto. They weren't a seafaring nation. And so for those reading these words, to see Jonah thrown into the sea, into the chaos, how dramatic. What an end for the prophet of God to find such an end in this way. But the sailors, what a transformation. It says there in verse 16, as they see the sea growing calm, they greatly feared the Lord and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to Him. Previously they took out their little idols, their little lowercase g gods, and they cried out to the unknown God, save us. But to no avail. But no, now they make their vows and they offer sacrifice to the Lord. The one Jonah testified of, they pray to Him. They are transformed. They now know the true and living God. They see the sea grow calm. Jonah's judgment, as he was judged in that way and thrown into the sea, turns to their salvation, and God's mercy is shown to them. What a transformation. It reminds me of a verse in 1 Kings to do with Elijah. And how after that event on the mountain of Carmel, the people realized that God, the Lord, He is God. And that's what the people said, didn't they? When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and they cried, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. That's what the sailors did here. As they recognized, Lord, He is God. And they came near to Him through that sacrifice they offered there. They made their confessions. They offered their thanksgiving. They came in faith to God. They made their vows, their solemn promises. A changed heart and mind took place here. I believe these people came to know God. As they went home to their own homes, what a testimony they had. How that God had delivered them and shown them mercy on the sea. But Jonah, his journey was down. Down, down, down. As he left his home, he went down to Joppa, as we saw last time. He went down to the boat. He went down below deck. And now he's gone down into the sea. God willing, we'll look at next time, chapter 2, as he's in the sea there. What an end it seems here. A life without Christ, it shows. The life of those who had run away from God's mercy is a life that goes down, down, down into death itself. And then what? And then what? But we praise God, don't we? For the Lord Jesus Christ, because He came down, down, down into this world from heaven. He came into this world and He was cut off for His people. Jonah was thrown into the sea and cut off, and the sailors receive salvation. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater than Jonah, came into this world and was cut off for His people, for you and for me. And He rose from the dead and He is alive forevermore. We, like the unbelieving sailors, had no thought or care of God. But God extends His mercy to you and to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. And how great is that mercy? And how great is that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ? It says in the Gospel of John, greater love has no one than this, than a man or one lays down his life for his friends. Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for his enemies, for those who were in rebellion against God. He selflessly gave himself. We saw Jonah giving his life in a selfless manner. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself selflessly for you and for me. What a great Saviour the Lord Jesus Christ is. But what is our response today? What is your response? Perhaps you've never come to the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. Tonight I bring this message to you and ask you the question, will you continue in your way, as we've seen in Jonah's life? It was a way that went down, down, down. And then what? Without God, without Christ, without mercy? Or will you come to Christ tonight? Will you acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is Lord, He is God? Will you come near to Him? Will you come near to God through the sacrifice, the finished work of Christ, who is our risen Lord and King? What will your response be tonight? And Christian, what is your response? Will we make much of Christ? As those sailors went home, we don't know what happened to them, it doesn't tell us, but we can use our imagination to some point. I'm sure they went home and told others, didn't they? They were transformed. We've been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not the same. And we have to tell others. As the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is our testimony. And that is what we are to share and tell others in this world. He loved me, gave himself for me. Will we share Christ in this world? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this evening, the challenge that it brings to us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his completed work at Calvary, and that he is the risen Lord and King. It's not by our own efforts that we are saved. It's through Christ alone. So we pray tonight for those who are in our service who do not know you. O Lord, have mercy upon them. We cannot convince anyone by our own efforts or our own trying. It's by your Spirit. And so we pray, Lord, come and use the words that have been spoken tonight, but by your Spirit, open hearts and lives. And Lord, we pray, would you save souls? Build up your people as we think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, as he laid down his life for us. O Lord, give us a heart of compassion to share with others the gospel of Jesus. Help us not to run away, but rather to run to them to share Christ. Oh, help us, Lord. Forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for our failing in this. Forgive me and forgive us each one. Help us to take the opportunities, even this week. We pray these things in the name of Jesus.